Revolting People by Andy Hamilton and Jay Tarsis. With Jay Tarsis, James Fleet, Hugh Dennis, Tony Maudsley, Jan Ravens, Penelope Nice, and Andy Hamilton.
Hello?
Oh, sorry, was that you knocking, Sam? Oh, I thought it was the Death Watch beetle in my wooden leg. Because they do a similar rhythm, you know, yeah. Yeah, the leg's infested with all kinds of insects now. Mind you, it's not as bad as my vest. That's crawling with them.
In fact, it's crawling across the floor right now.
Oh, yeah, just look at it go, isn't it? It's funny, in a couple of hundred years' time, people will probably be disgusted by the idea of clothes swarming with lice, but myself, I think it gives them personality.
I need a few words with you, McGurk.
Of course, pull up a chair. My home is your home.
No, my home is my home.
Look, I can't help where the army billeted me, Sam. Cup of tea?
No, I'm not going to make you a cup of tea.
Oh, all right, then.
So, how you doing, Roy?
Good, Sam, good. Mighty good. Thanks for asking, yeah.
The room looks real nice.
Well, I do take pride in my boudoir.
So you've done a little bit of painting.
Oh, what, you like the little faux Watteau tableau that I've done over the bed then, yeah?
Yeah, with the bluebirds and the ribbons and the fat little dancing ballerina.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it's restful on the eye, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. Do you like what I've done with the ceiling?
Yeah, an interesting fresco.
Yeah, yeah, modelled on Michelangelo, obviously.
Yeah, that'd be God, right?
Yeah, why?
Well, it's just not quite how I pictured God looking.
Well, how did you picture God looking?
Well, a little less like you. Maybe with two legs.
Yeah, well, an artist has to have freedom to interpret, yeah. Sam. You know?
Now, all those women surrounding God in the white robes, they'd be virgins, right?
Well, for now, yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm so pleased with the way the gates of heaven worked out. You know, with the admission price over the door there, that's really good.
Look, Roy, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you and Captain Brimshaw to leave.
Leave?
Yes.
Beg pardon, sir, I don't understand.
It's been almost 3 years you've been living here.
Oh, three delightful, fun-filled years.
Yeah, each day's been a distinct joy. But see, there comes a time...
Yeah, but where would I go? I have to be billeted here, it's the law. Plus, we've become business associates and chums, you and me, haven't we, eh? And I'd like to do a matching tableau on the other wall with a sporting theme this time.
Yeah, I know, Roy, but look here, we're on separate sides of the fence. There's going to be a war.
Relax, Sam, there'll be no war. The skill and diplomacy of our wonderful British Prime Minister will see to that.
The Prime Minister?
Lord North. Most great men have towns named after them, but him, he's got a whole geographical direction. Yeah. He'll avert war, don't you worry. Anyway, we English don't want to fight you Americans.
No?
No, we want to fight the French. Yeah, much more fun. They make this hilarious girly squealing sound when you shoot them. So, ooh!
Yeah, but the... The Americans are ablaze with anger. They're so angry that they banned the drinking of tea, which, let's face it, is always a prelude to war.
Yeah, I know, but...
And more loyalist sympathizers are being tarred and feathered, which is not nice.
No, though visually quite comic.
And in New Hampshire, rebel militiamen have raided English forts to seize gunpowder and weapons.
I know the cheeky monkeys.
And General George Washington is assembling an army of heavily armed green jackets.
Yeah.
And in Austria, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart has just written his Mass in F major.
Why do you mention that?
Well, just to put it all in a global context.
Oh, right. Listen, these rebels, they're always banging on about their war.
Yeah, well, now it's actually going to happen.
When?
Tuesday? Or Wednesday, if wet. The whole thing might have to be moved indoors. But see, that's not the point. The point is, I've got to take a stand. Uh-huh. I've decided I believe in liberty. And you and Captain Brimshaw are soldiers of a guy who doesn't. So if you stay here, well, I'll eventually have to shoot you, and I don't want to do that.
Knock, knock. Morning, gents. How are we all?
Sam's going to shoot us.
What? Why on earth would he do that?
I just want you out of my house so that it doesn't come to that.
3 years of camaraderie flushed down the toilet of rejection.
Oh, but we've got murals yet to paint and other forms of spruces up we've been meaning to get round to rendering and grouting, all of which will, incidentally, greatly add to your resale value.
Yeah, he's worried that the colonials are about to throw off their yoke of tyranny.
Oh, they're always saying that.
Yeah, it says the war's booked for Tuesday.
Wednesday at the latest.
But I don't want to live at the barracks among those filthy Hessians. Look at the lovely way the sun streams through the windows here. What a tonic at the end of a working day to come home to this rather than belching Germans.
Look, this is not easy for me, believe me.
All right, here's another argument. You're going to be my father-in-law.
Oh, you can't marry Mary.
But I have every intention of marrying Mary. It's Mary who's chary about marrying me.
And with good reason. You're hopelessly ill-suited. You'd be the worst match couple since Punch and Judy.
Punch and Judy. I love that show.
You're oil and water.
You're...
Great family entertainment. I mean, the bit where he kills his wife, throws his baby out the window, and then beats the policeman to death. I mean, they just don't write them like that anymore, do they?
Do you mind?
Well, it bothers me a bit that that kind of piece
is disappearing. I mean, do you mind that I'm trying to tell Brimshaw something important?
I know what you're trying to tell me, and I'm not listening.
No, the plain fact is, Brimshaw, you and Mary are incompatible. She's a Republican and you're a loyalist. She's a revolutionary and you're a conservative. She's passionate and exciting and you're English.
Let me just say one more thing before you go and throw us out into the street. We'll pay you.
It's not about money.
£5 a week.
I told you it's not about money, although if it was about money, it'd be about a lot more money than that.
Uh-huh.
No, it's the eve of war. Will we spend the mornings trying to blow each other's heads off and then sit down to dinner together?
The conversation would probably be a bit stilted.
Yeah, especially if some of us are dead. So it's Monday then. You have to find somewhere else to live.
£10 a week.
No!
I'm throwing a floor mosaic. Scenes from hell with popes being roasted on sticks.
No, I said no.
It is I, Cora, your husband Ezekiel, returning to your bedchamber like the warrior Hannibal re-entering the gates of Carthage after his epic struggle across the Alps.
You're early.
Throw open your doors, my dearest.
In a minute, I'm having a baby.
Another one? That'll make number 5.
6, actually? Oh!
I must have been gone longer than I thought. Oh, wonder of wonders, I'm a father again. I must come in. Oh, look at him. He's excellent. Just born this instant.
Oh, it seems to be getting...
Woman, this gal.
Yes, she is. She's one... Just out of curiosity, who are you?
Midwife.
Rather deep voice for a midwife.
Well, let's not get locked into stereotypes. It's almost the 19th century.
I know you, don't I?
You remember Abraham Smith, don't you, my sweet?
You mean the brigand? The leader of the rebel troops, a man rumored to be the father of my first child?
Well, this isn't him. This is his brother, Stan.
The midwife.
Stan's been kind enough to assist me in the birthing of our last 3 or 4 children.
And this little lady's come through with flying colors.
Hmm. I can't help but notice one of those colors is ginger. The color of all my children's hair, including this brand new one, and, coincidentally, yours, sir.
Yeah, that is weird. Though it's quite common for babies to end up resembling their midwives. Or is it their pets? And maybe that's people, not babies. Anyway, I'm not really
sure. I think you'd better take your leave, sir.
Of course. I might just pop back later to coach your wife on pelvic floor exercise.
Go! Cora.
I like your hat. Is it new? I like the plume. A lot of people couldn't carry off a hat like that, but you...
Never mind the hat, Cora. I want to discuss this latest addition to our burgeoning family.
Isn't he lovely? He's got your elbows. We must think of a name.
Why don't we just call him Red?
Father, may I talk to you in private? Are you busy in the shop?
If that's supposed to be funny, Mary, I fail to see the humor of it.
It's just I need to talk to you in private.
Sure, go ahead.
No, this isn't private enough. Let's step out into the back alley. This, outside, in the fresh air, with the sound of birds.
Seems quite similar.
Well, it isn't. It's the back alley. Those footsteps you heard, they were ours, crossing into the back alley.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, I'm not sure I like it back here, and I'm worried about leaving the shop unattended. Can we go back inside?
As you wish.
Gee, this place is bigger than I thought.
Well, you know, it's deceptive, which is good if you ever decide to sell.
Mm. We always had this corridor.
Oh, here we are, back in the shop. Happy now?
Yeah, yeah. Now, what did you want to tell me?
I'm angry. angry. I'm angry beyond belief that you are summarily throwing the man I love out onto the street.
Yes, but you're a red-coat-hating hellcat. You've not stopped carping for 3 years at the sheer injustice of having to lodge those infernal Brits under our roof.
That was just idle chit-chat. In the interim, I've fallen desperately in love with an Englishman.
Well, we are talking about Captain Brimshaw now, aren't we?
What?
Yeah, just checking, because Sergeant McGurk is...
Oh, good God!
No, okay. Well, see, Mary, the thing of it is, I've changed my tune and I've come around to your way of thinking, Ray the English. I want them out of my country, ergo, out of my house.
Well, in that case, I have a confession to make, but I can't tell you here.
And just out of curiosity, how often is that Stan Smith character here when I'm out of town?
A better question might be why you're out of town so often.
I think, and this is just me talking, that we're a family in crisis.
Oh dear, I feel a woozy swoon coming on.
No, you don't. Isn't it time we were honest with one another, Cora? You don't find me very attractive, do you?
Honestly?
Honesty is what this exercise is all about.
I find you repulsive.
Right. Well, that's pretty honest. Good. Thank you. And being equally honest, frankly, I married you for money. Imagine my chagrin when I discovered there was no dowry to be had.
Well, thank you for your honesty as well.
And just as you did, I mean, as you found solace with other men.
Man. Singular. And woman. One. Maybe two. Since we're being honest.
All right. And to be more honest, I've been living for months at a time with Widow Hopkins in Montgomery County.
Stan Smith slept here for an entire year.
I have 3 children of my own from a previous liaison with a slave girl.
My mother is a lesbian.
My father was an octoroon.
I have been spying on the British and working underground with the rebels.
I've been leading a band of saboteurs under cover of darkness, reporting to General Washington.
I find you very exciting at this moment.
Oh, I think you're wonderful. If you hadn't just had another man's baby, I'd be tempted to ravage you.
Now you're disgusting. In a whole new way. I like it. These startling revelations are exciting. Keep them coming. More.
More? Yes. I've always found your shepherd's pie rather bland.
Oh, God, yes.
Yes, and some of your clothes have an unappealing camphor smell.
Oh, yes, you tiger. Yes. Oh.
Boy, this cellar's really deep, isn't it?
Yeah, loads of storage space. You could store all sorts of stuff down here.
Like those cannons?
Yeah. I'm looking after those for some friends. You didn't see them, by the way.
Are they the big secret you wanted to
tell? No. Here's my secret. Captain Walter Brimshaw wants to marry me.
I already know that.
Well, what you don't know is that I want to marry him, too.
Really?
And I want to live in England with him.
But you despise England.
No, I don't. That's the irony. If anything, I've become something of an Anglophile because of the man I love.
But that's astonishing. We've taken opposite stands.
Life is full of strange twists and turns.
Not unlike this house.
And this latest twist means I can't go on living this lie I've been living.
Have all of us till now been living lives of lies?
I think we all have. Oh, look. Here comes Joshua with a small sheep on his head.
Well, your brother's one who hasn't been living a life of lies. He's truly an idiot.
No, Father. Mary, why are you down here in the cellar?
Why are you wearing a sheep on your head?
I asked you first.
We're down here because I wanted to tell Father in private of my true feelings.
About Captain Brimshaw and your desire to sail to England with him?
You know about that?
Of course. In fact, I've been attempting to broker passage for Mary and the captain on a British frigate.
But you don't have the sense you were born with. You're running around with a sheep on your head.
It's a facade, Father.
A what?
Sham. A masquerade. I've just been pretending to be stupid.
Well, you've carried it off brilliantly. But why?
Well, because parents often feel emotionally threatened when they have exceptionally clever children. And I didn't want Father to feel insecure and pathetic.
Why are you suddenly springing all this on me?
Well, for 2 reasons. First, I heard there's a new trend towards honesty around here. And second, I've just been awarded the chair in philosophy at the Sorbonne. That's in Paris, by the way. In France, and it's not really a chair. It's a sort of...
I know where Paris, France is.
You see, this is the insecurity I was worried about.
Anyway, how clever are you?
Well, if you must know, I'm close to being a genius.
Yeah, what's 1575 times 19?
29,925. Next question.
Why do you have a sheep on your head?
I said close to being a genius. It's a fine line. This is advisable.
Shh, it'll be fine.
This is the home of Samuel's ex-wife and her lady. Her girl. The woman that... Would you pick your own euphemism? Last time we met, there was a lot of bad feelings.
Listen, it'll be fine. Leave it with me.
Yes, what is it?
Good morning, madam. You remember me, don't you?
Yes, I do. What?
Well, me and my captain here have been pitched out of your ex-husband's house, and we thought it might be jolly if we moved in with you and your euphemism. You know, I think I had her right up until the end there, didn't you?
Yes, she was putty in your hands. Come on, let's go.
No.
For pity's sake...
We'd only take up the entire top floor. We'd do our share of the cooking and the chores, and we wouldn't say a word about your alternate lifestyle.
Who's at the door, Elizabeth? It's that disgusting red-coated vermin who Samuel's been billeting.
You're going to let her talk that way about you, Captain? That's a bit...
I knew this was a bad idea, Sergeant. Let's just move into the barracks and forget
about it. Wait a minute. Come inside, we'll discuss this.
Agnes, have you gone berserk?
Let them in, Elizabeth.
We all can see who wears the pants in this house.
Have a seat, Captain. McGurk, pew stand. We don't want little crawly things getting into the upholstery.
Yeah, but I loofered myself only a fortnight ago.
Just stand off to the side.
Yeah, by law, you are supposed to provide handicapped seating.
Sergeant. Please, go on.
Agnes, what are you up to?
You gentlemen realise that a full-blown war is minutes away, don't you?
Tuesday, rumour has it.
In times like these, it may be most sensible if we act upon our instincts.
Agnes, this is a mistake.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
It is not.
Catfight, McGurk.
Let's lay our cards on the table, boys. We're not who you think we are, and you aren't who you think you are.
Hold on, I find that confusing.
We're not a same-sex couple. We're mother and daughter.
You can have the mum, Captain.
Sergeant.
Agnes is my daughter from a previous marriage.
How many times have you been married, madam?
Before Samuel, once, to Agnes's father, one Benjamin Smith, who, in addition to fathering my daughter Agnes, gave me two sons, Abraham and Stan.
Which means not only are Abraham and Stan my brothers, but they're also the fathers of many of Cora's children, which would make them not only Cora's lovers, but also her half-brothers.
This all sounds very rural. I mean...
So, it seems like you're the mother of most of the people I know.
I've had my share of youngsters, yes.
We're not related by any chance, are we?
Only if I'd had union with Satan, but even I draw the line somewhere.
You, Captain Brimshaw, however, happen to...
Stop. I know what you're going to say, and it's impossible. I am not your brother.
But you are a distant cousin. Does the name Thaddeus Perkins mean anything to you?
Uncle Thaddeus?
My father's cousin.
Holy cow!
I've got to sit down.
Not in this house.
Oh, no. Does this mean I'm related to my beloved Mary?
Yes, but distantly enough where you won't have three-headed children. Two-headed, possibly, but...
Are Sam and Cora and Mary and Joshua aware of this twisted farrago of lies?
No. When I left Sam long ago, the children were small, and Sam was never aware I'd been previously married.
Well, I don't mean to judge you, madam, but that's reprehensible.
I'm not proud of my behavior, which is why I've tried to keep it quiet.
But, Mother, that's hopeless. It's impossible to live one's life in a quagmire of deception and deceit.
Well, I think you're wrong there, but... I'll tell you what, is there any chance of some tea and a few biscuits while we listen to all these disturbing revelations? And perhaps a chair for a lame person?
I'll find you a stool, Cousin Roy.
No.
Possible.
Cousin?
Sorry, Mum.
Oh, what's the difference? There's nary a bag with a cat left in it.
Oh, I don't understand anything anymore.
I'd rather not go into detail on the serpentine way our bloodlines intermingle, save for three words. Scotland, orgy, and drunk.
Oh, this is a bizarre and perverted, yet strangely titillating, as it often is when loins are involved.
I don't know, all these secrets and bombshells, there's just too much information to take in.
I know what you mean.
Let's go back to the beginning and go through it all again. Good morning, madam. You remember me, don't you?
Yes, I do.
morning, Sam.
Morning.
Greetings, Sergeant. And you, Captain Brimshaw?
Good day, Joshua.
Oh, and doesn't everyone seem to be jolly on the street this fine Monday morning, eh?
Yes, Baltimore's chock-a-block with people on their way to market or to the harbor or just out for a stroll.
And the air is so fresh and clear and hopeful. And at my lofty height, slightly thinner, with just a suggestion of cumulonimbus.
Good joke, Joshua. Witty yet meteorological at the same time.
Well, multi-layer bon mots are my forte.
Why, look, isn't that Mary over there with Cora and a few of my delightful red-headed grandchildren?
Why, yes, it is. Mary.
You seem particularly rosy-cheeked and sparkly, Walter.
And you seem spectacularly beautiful, Mary.
Well, if I look beautiful on the outside, it's because the world is making me feel beautiful on the inside.
This is the nicest and politest I've ever seen anywhere. Are you positive about this war, Sam? Because on the surface, things couldn't be more cheery.
Ah, but it's only Monday. War set for Tuesday.
Yeah, but you think that at least there'd be the odd practice lynching or a bit of, you know...
No, everyone's out enjoying this last day of peace.
Oh, I rather like all the atmosphere of... How are you doing? And good to see you. Never been better. Howdy doody doody.
Sir.
Yes?
Don't do that.
Tell me, Roy, were you and the captain able to find lodging?
Well, yes, we were, Sam. Coincidentally, with someone you once knew very well.
Who?
Well, I can't say in front of your children, no.
Well, shall we move off a distance so we can speak conspiratorially?
Yeah, yeah. Let's. My stump's chafing me. These cobblestones play havoc with my prosthesis, you know.
So, who are you staying with?
Your former wife.
Elizabeth?
And her bedmate, who it turns out isn't her bedmate after all, but her daughter. Not yours, hers, by a previous marriage unbeknownst to you.
Oh, I knew about that marriage to Jeremy Hackett.
Benjamin Smith.
Oh, I don't know about that one. So, that makes Abraham and Stan Smith...
Absolutely no relation to you whatsoever, no. But on the other hand, it turns out because of some shadowy encounter Elizabeth had between husbands, you and I are distant cousins, and 11th and 12th in line for the throne of Sweden. Don't ask me how it works. That's just the way it is.
Well, you knocked me over with a feather. What a tangled web we have here. So we actually could be kings of Sweden.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of people have to go mad and get poisoned. But, you know, that can be arranged.
Boy, old Elizabeth's sown a lot of oats, hasn't she?
Yep, several fields worth.
Hackett, Smith, the occasional Scandinavian. I don't know, you think you know somebody, but then all of a sudden you find out your wife's a whore.
I know, I know. Isn't that always the way?
Ahoy there, Father Oliphant and Sergeant McGurk. Wonderful morning, huh?
Yes, hello there, son-in-law.
You've lost some weight, Mr. Spriggs.
Getting ready for the war. Want to be fit. Starts tomorrow, you know, or possibly Wednesday. Either way, I plan to be in the thick of it.
I always figured you for a coward, or at the very least, a monarchist sympathizer.
Goodness, no, that was all a crafty smokescreen.
So you're saying the pompous windbag routine wasn't the real you?
No, indeed. Just like the omniscient Zeus as he metamorphosed into a ravishing swan to deflower the delicate nymph Leda by the sylvan waters of Arcadia. Such was my disguise of florid and abstruse verbosity.
Did you stick with that?
I made it as far as the swan.
Well, I can't detain you. I must go chat with my beloved Cora. Toodaloo! Oh, don't turn your back on me tomorrow, Sergeant. I'll be gunning for you.
Not if I stab you first, Mr. Spriggs.
So long, loser.
Bye-bye, nutter.
Well, I must be on my way.
Yeah, actually, I've got one more secret. I'm retiring from the army. I'm sitting this war out.
But why? You'll miss out on all that blood and gore and mayhem. You just love that stuff.
Yeah, I know, but it's all these injuries, you know, the eye, the arm, the neck, the leg, the thigh, the nose, the buttocks.
You were wounded in the buttocks?
Sat on a lobster.
Where?
Restaurant. So tell your comrades, if they see me on the street, don't shoot, okay? I'm not a soldier anymore. I'm a painter, actually. I've been commissioned to do a big faux mural on my new bedroom wall by none other than Agnes, the faux lesbian.
Congratulations, McGurk.
Yes, you can buy me a drink.
I didn't say that.
Oh,
I was...
look, a tavern. What a coincidence.
It's a bit early for me.
Come on, let's make the most of this hostelry. Tomorrow it'll be blown to smithereens.
All right, but just the one.
Well, this is a sorry state of affairs. Sam, your glass is empty.
I can only have just the one.
I'm only pouring you one. Here goes.
That's a tall glass, isn't it? Deceptively big. It's like my house. You know, I've got alleys. I got a back alley. I got a side alley.
There.
I'm not drunk.
I know that.
I bloody love you, you son of a bitch.
Wow, what's not to love, eh?
I mean, your family. It is going to be lovely ruling Sweden with you. Sweden's cold, isn't it?
Well, we'll divide it up. You can rule the warm part.
Oh, that is so damn sweet of you. What do you figure Sweden's like?
Well, I've heard it's like Scotland, only blonder.
How are we going to get there? It's far away, isn't it?
Well, I could probably pay for our passage. You know, I've managed to put a little bit by over the past few years.
Really? How much?
£37,000.
Ooh, that's a lot of money, especially for the 18th century.
I know.
How'd you manage to get £37,000?
I've got a good accountant.
It's funny, there's you prudently saving £37,000, and yet I've done nothing but lose money these past few years, you know? A lot of my valuables have gone missing.
Uh-huh.
My livestock's all disappeared in puzzling circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
Cash boxes have walked.
I know, our fortunes have contrasted starkly, haven't they? Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm pleased for you. You deserve everything you've got. Did I mention I love you?
Yeah, yeah. Listen, Sam, there's one more secret I feel I should tell you. You see, a lot of the money I've got off you with clever scams. Well, I say clever scams, but actually they didn't have to be that clever because you're not very bright. Anyway, I feel I can tell you all this now. And the reason I feel I can tell you this is that you fell asleep about 30 seconds ago.